Ah, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey guys, welcome to Not Another Anxiety Show. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and joining me today is my co-host from coachingfromabroad.com, Erica Latham. Hey, girl.
Oh, hey. Remember the old days of when I would record a podcast like in my car, or I would have to apologize right up front? Yeah, I'd be in a closet and I'd be like, sorry, there's like massive construction, like 1 foot from my microphone. We're back in those old days because they're pouring concrete 1 inch from the window that I'm looking out of, and I can't move. So
every time I've talked to you, I feel like in the last 2 weeks, there's construction happening. It's magical. You are like a magnet.
Did I send you the video last week? I got the Rona. Everybody, I'm okay. I'm fine. Yeah. But I got it again. It took a year and a half to get back to me. I feel like that's a success. But the day I had like the headache that people like say they get with COVID, they were literally jackhammering inside of my brain.
Literally jackhammering.
I sent you a video of them jackhammering so close to my window. I couldn't believe.
And
I
looked really, really impressed.
I was just like, wow, of all the days, here we are. Anyway.
Cruel world.
Yeah. Okay. What are we doing today? I'm a guinea pig. Brum, brum, brum.
Brum, brum, brum. Guinea pig soup. So
I forgot about guinea pig soup.
So I know. Actually, there's this bunny that lives in our yard. I'm watching it right now. This bunny is so brave. I have a husky, and this bunny is so brazen, always hanging out in the yard, and he's just eating those clovers. I'm like, man, I wish I had your kind of courage. But so, you know, guinea pig, bunny, rodents. Yeah. Uh-huh. Bringing in that wildlife biology degree here.
Sure.
So today was inspired by a chat I was having with a client the other day, because she mentioned that she knew, she brought this up and she said, you know, she knew that anxious thoughts were just thoughts, and she knew the nature of thoughts, right? Like they're dynamic, they're ever changing, they're fickle, they're like the weather. But she shared that she felt like she still just couldn't shake them. And you could tell there was an element of self-judgment there, like, oh, geez, yeah. I should know better. And first, I want to say, you know, those of us struggling with intrusive thoughts, anxious thoughts, never show ourselves enough grace, myself included. And second, I was reminded of my recent chat with Dr. Russell Kennedy, where we talked about how we so often try to think our way out of a feeling, for lack of a better word, quote unquote problem. You know, it obviously feels like a quote unquote problem to us. And in the moment, it feels really distressing and uncomfortable. But while what my client was experiencing looked a lot like a quote unquote thinking problem to her, it was a quote unquote feeling problem. And again, I say problem loosely because it's not that it's necessarily a problem that needs to be solved, but it is distressing to us and uncomfortable to us. So this happens to me often too, right? It's not
so much.
Like I just got caught in it this morning. It's easy to think it's like the thoughts that are causing us distress and discomfort. But if you think about it, right, thoughts are just words strung together like a sentence. It's really the feelings and emotions that accompany them that kind of like bring this play to life, right? Like it really brings the experience to life. It's the feelings that's getting us, right? It's the emotions that are getting us. It's not random words strung together. It's what's coming up with them.
Right. That's the key. P.S.
Yeah. And you know what? I forget it all the time. And I'm pretty consciously aware of this.
You might say you do this for a living.
Yeah. And, you know, in that same conversation with Russ, the idea that we need to feel to heal came up several times. And what are we going to do here? We're going to share what feeling our way through looks like. Okay.
Okay.
It's a 1,000 step process. Okay. I mean, get yourselves ready. Buckle up here. I'm just kidding. It's 9 steps and it does start to feel more seamless and you can kind of like condense it and even, you know, skip a couple of these, but
I do love a step. I'm a sucker for a step though.
Yeah. I'm still a sucker for a step. Sometimes it's nice to have sort of that concrete.
Don't say concrete. Oh, too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon. Too soon. Pouring it as I'm looking at them. They're just looking in my window right now.
Like, I know. I'm waiting to hear the beep beep again when they back up.
I'm riding this mute button. I'm riding it. Anyway, so 9 steps to glory.
Yeah, it's sure. 1,000 steps. So I was thinking the way we can kind of do this is I'm going to share the steps via a personal example of when I recently, quote unquote, felt my way through.
Give specifics. I love it when you feel things.
Yeah. So I'll be a guinea pig first. And then I'm thinking, Erica, let's throw you in that guinea pig stew and you're next. But first, before we go any further, I want to say that, you know, the idea here is if people want to take it away and try it, feel free. But if you're trying this at home, if you're giving it a go, giving it a feel, if at any point it's entirely overwhelming and you start to feel panicked, you know, highly anxious, if it's just super distressing, just stop. All right. It's okay. Just
stop.
It's not
a power your way through. No, that's none of the things you said are.
No, this is not a power your way through. That there's no value in it in that moment. So it doesn't mean you failed. If you have to step back and stop, it doesn't mean you failed. It just means your nervous system may need a little more support and or healing before it can feel its way through, right? Certain emotions or experiences or whatever. It's okay. And it's encouraged to start small here. We're building a capacity, right? We don't go from doing a bicep curl with a 2-pound weight to a 20-pound weight overnight. We're building capacity. So
yeah,
it's almost more encouraged to just start with something small, right? Like not necessarily anxiety, but feeling your way through a pang of jealousy or insecurity or frustration, you know, whatever. Starting small is okay and encouraged.
Like the ice cream machine at McDonald's is broken. I don't know. I just picked that out of the thin air. That's
yeah,
a thing.
Well, that's a thing. Actually, I really was wishing for a McFlurry once, and they're like, sorry, our like special McFlurry machine's not working.
It's always
I was like,
broken.
Like,
always.
I just drove.
It's like a joke.
I live in the middle of nowhere. I just drove 20 minutes for
I
this.
Just drove
what am I going
to
do?
In my covered wagon.
In my covered wagon. Hitched up the donkeys, you know?
All right, step one me. Let's do it.
Okay. So for me, I'm going to set a little bit of context here. So after a lot, you know, after Roe v. Wade was overturned, I, like so many other women, felt really triggered, right? It brought me right back to, like, again, so many other women when my reproductive rights were violated during my pregnancy. And I set an intention here before recording that, you know, I'm not going to devolve into the details of my pregnancy or politics because I don't think it's helpful for me and I don't think it's helpful for others in this context. But for some of that minimal context, you know, when I was pregnant, you know, I had some pretty serious complications and one of them was, you know, preeclampsia with severe features. And one of the ways that manifests is high blood pressure. So not surprisingly, I sometimes still associate getting my blood pressure taken with this traumatic experience and thus, you know, being triggered by the Supreme Court ruling on Roe v. Wade a few days before my yearly physical. It was like 2 days before my yearly physical. You know, it had me a lot more worried and concerned about my blood pressure than I've usually been. So here is how I felt my way through that health worry and that health anxiety. Step one of 1,000. Step one, notice. All we're doing here is noticing, hey, I feel some sort of way, right? I feel off. Something's coming up. For me, I just noticed I felt off and a little weepy and scared.
Okay.
Step two, girl.
Lay it on me.
Name the emotion, but give yourself a minute here, right? Don't just go through the motions, right? Because I wanted to say, oh, I'm feeling anxious out of habit, right? It's like everything. Not every emotion is anxiety, but it's easy to sort of fall back in habit and be like, oh yeah, I'm just feeling anxious. But I gave myself a minute and I realized, you know, the emotion was vulnerability. I just, I felt really vulnerable. You know, that's the emotion that was coming up for me. And it can help to remember that naming an emotion makes that sort of cloudy gray blob that is our feelings a little bit clearer. And using language gives that prefrontal cortex a chance at coming back online, since that's where our speech center is. So naming can be really helpful and powerful. Step three, we're acknowledging our experience. You know, before we try to sort of shortcut what we're feeling or wriggle our, you know, I say I like to squirm out of it. You know, if I'm feeling distressed or uncomfortable, I kind of want to squirm out of it in any way possible, as quickly as possible. And so this step of acknowledging, just taking a second to acknowledge what is, like, okay, this experience is here. I am feeling vulnerable. I am feeling scared. That's my current reality. And my body's doing the best it can in this moment. I don't have to like it or want it to be here. And I can be scared and unsure, but I acknowledge that this is just part of my experience in this moment. This is happening.
Why do I picture the sign that Dwight has in the office when he says, it is your birthday? That's what I picture. You are anxious. You are like, just like a bland. It is your birthday.
It is your birthday. This is your experience in this moment. It's just happening. It's happening right now. So often we don't even want to, we're like, at least me, I'm trying to sidestep or squirm my way out and not even acknowledge it's happening.
Right.
I like that. So picture the office.
Picture the office.
Step 12. Step four, experience. So if you are not overwhelmed by the emotion that's coming up, do your best to fully feel it, right? Where is the emotion in your body? What are its characteristics? Is it hot? Is it cold? Is there a color associated? For some people, there's very much a color. I am clearly colorblind when it comes to my emotions because that never registers for me. I'm like, red? I don't know.
Flames?
Flames is my best guess. I don't know. Blue? For some people, there's very much like a color association.
Yeah,
I'm colorblind. Sure. But for me, you know, I kind of noticed I sat with my body. It wasn't overwhelming. Remember, if it gets overwhelming here, it's okay to pull back and do a grounding exercise or lean into something that makes you feel supported and resourced, right? Like imagining a safe space or a person you feel connected to or a pet, whatever it might be. It's okay to kind of step back and give yourself support if it gets overwhelming here. But if it doesn't, do your best to feel the experience and notice the characteristics of it in your body. Step five, and this is a hard one, and this is one that like I definitely don't do every time. It's appreciate. It's appreciate. Okay. So the appreciation piece, something that helps me appreciate sometimes is kind of putting a hand on my chest. Like our emotions are just trying to alert us to the state of our needs.
Yeah.
So if you can show yourself some appreciation for that aspect of your experience, not what's actually coming up, but like, you know, the underlying mechanism here, feel free to thank yourself if you have it in you. If you don't, if you're like, this sucks, I hate it, it's terrible, no appreciation, we're gonna skip step five and just move on to step six. This sucks. It's okay. It's okay. You don't need to do this piece. It's just an opportunity if you're able to find some of that appreciation for the part of you that's trying really hard. Whether it's maladaptive or not, but there's a part of you trying really hard to get your needs met. Step six.
Yeah.
Connect. This is a big one, right?
Okay.
Step six, connect. I'm not alone. Others have the same emotion. Suffering is a shared human experience, right? Like, and it can really help to drop into like what helps you feel connected to humanity, right? So many people say they love the podcast because they feel understood. They feel connected. Or maybe it's connecting with someone close to you, or again, putting that hand on your chest. It can be really anything, anything. Like me, sometimes I'll connect to my coaching work because I experience a sense of shared human experience through my work every day where I feel like, wow, there is so much universality in our human experience. Anything that elicits that for you, what makes you feel that way. Not trying to convince yourself with logic or thoughts, but what makes you feel connected?
Yeah.
I love that. Step seven. Yeah, that's it. It's a good one. step seven is another one that we might not be able to bring in, or we may need to kind of work on the side. But step seven is like that self-compassion. How do you comfort or soothe yourself when you're having a hard time, right? These are distressing emotions. They're difficult. They're uncomfortable. They're challenging us. They can be downright terrifying. So how do we comfort or soothe ourselves? You know, for me, it's coming back to that hand on my heart. Sometimes I kind of rest my palm up, or I'll like sway my body, or I'll kind of balance from left foot to right foot, or I'll kind of swing my arms, like twisting at my torso. Everybody's a little bit different, but what can you show yourself? Again, not necessarily tell yourself, that makes you feel like you're taking care of you, right? How would you show a young child compassion? One that doesn't have the ability to be reasoned with yet, right? Like a 2, 3, 4-year-old. Like, how do you show them compassion, and how can you soothe yourself and show yourself compassion?
Yeah.
For 2 more steps. We're almost there.
Okay.
8.
Yeah.
This is a big boy. Number 8 is curiosity.
Love curiosity.
Curiosity. Guys, this isn't an interrogation. Okay. It's stopping and giving yourself a minute, if you can, to see what comes up. It's sort of asking yourself, hey, what need isn't being met? What might be under this struggle? What might be under this distress? Our emotions aren't necessarily accurate or, you know, indicative of anything that we need to do or problem solve, but they do need to be heard and seen, because that's what allows them to be processed and healed. So, you know, if you're caught up in worrying about your health or anything, can you bring some curiosity about what emotion is underneath the details? So in my example, at first it looked like it was all about my blood pressure. What's my blood pressure going to be, you know, at this physical? Like, I haven't had it checked in a year. What if it's suddenly high? You know, trying to find evidence for and against, you know, why is it going to be fine and why is it going to be catastrophic? So at first it was sort of getting caught in those worries and those fears. But when I brought some curiosity and was able to slow things down, underneath that, I was able to see, oh, wow, like my need for safety feels threatened. I feel unsafe here, right? Like I see what need, right, is being attacked or feels like it's being attacked. And number 9, you know, this one is, if you can, this is another if you can, right? There's a few if you can steps. If it's something that's not incredibly distressing or distracting or consuming, if you can, change a channel, right? It's just refocusing on what's next in your day, what's important, what's of value to you. And if you're able to, sort of shifting, not distracting, not avoiding, not running away, but refocusing your attention on, okay, what's next? You know, I gave myself some space and time here. I did the work, and what's next on my plate for the day, right? So many of us have a lot of responsibilities and chores and a to-do list, and it can help to kind of use that to bring us back to like the sensory experience of the moment.
Yeah. Well, okay. Love this.
How did those 1,000 steps feel? Any thoughts?
1,000 steps. Yeah. I mean, this is stuff we've talked about in the past, and putting it together feels nice. You know, it's a very overwhelming time for a lot of folks, you know, no matter where you are in the world, there's just a lot going on.
There is.
You know, and it can
feel... We've never been more privy to it, right? Like just with social media and world news and exactly.
And we've talked about that before where, we can't, our brains are designed to handle the things that are directly in front of us, but when you feel that sort of overwhelm, it can feel like a lot. So it's helpful to sort of have a little bit of a loose, gentle framework.
Right. This is gentle, guys. You don't
gentle.
This is like, listen, all of my degrees are in science. This is like an artsy fartsy. Think of this as like, they're in science. Think of this process as less scientific and more like artsy fartsy, like liberal arts. There is value in that. We need to like bring some of that willingness to feel our way through, to sort of not get it right the first time. And, you know, for me and in my example, feeling my way through vulnerability here, right, allowed me to focus on caring for myself and offering myself protection and support in a few different ways, right? Like staying off social media for the day, leaning into the fact that I've chosen a physician that values collaborative care and always makes me feel seen, heard, and like she's tending to my health. You know, it allowed me to sort of jump on my trampoline with my kids when they're like calling me like, mommy, mommy, it is 3 o'clock. It's jump time. Like, let's roll.
The trampoline lives.
I use that thing every day, guys. And also, you know, last but not least, right? Like feeling my way through, I have my first adult karate session coming up in 2 days.
What? That's exciting.
It was that curiosity. I just sort of let things, I put it out there like, what's underneath here? What might need some healing? And guys, the answer for me was karate when I was curious. So I don't know what's going to happen. I've never been very good at karate when I do mixed martial arts classes. So, you know, we'll see. But that's the answer that came up. It was karate 15 minutes away.
I think that's awesome. I think that's going to like let out some of that stress in your body.
Yeah. And just, you know, it, I don't know what fosters sort of like protection or self-agency as much as I mean, being terrible at karate. We'll see. Maybe I'm going to be really good. Maybe I'm going to go from white belt to black belt in a
You don't have high expectations, and that's
You're
fine.
You're going to have to register these bad boys as lethal weapons. Get ready.
Are you pointing to your arms?
I'm pointing to my fists. I have two
your fists.
Right
I'm so sorry.
I don't know anything about karate. I don't even know if this is open hand, closing. We'll see.
Fists at all. I don't know how karate works. You get
We're
a cool
find out.
Little uniform.
Yeah, a gi, right? A
gi. That's what we decided, yes.
It's part of my orientation. I'm getting measured for my gi.
So, I love this. I really love it. I love it.
So really, like for, you know, by feeling my way through, right, I was able to sort of take care of myself instead of using all that mental bandwidth to get caught up in the details about blood pressure. Because anyone with health anxiety knows how consuming the details can be. It's like a black hole.
Yeah.
You can get lost in it all day trying to search for that peace and safety and security. And feeling my way through allowed me to process my fear, right? Instead of getting stuck in it and stuck in those details. And
getting stuck can feel so, air quotes, logical. Like blood pressure, you should worry about your blood pressure. You know, getting stuck into that thought loop of, no, I really need to like think this through and worry about it. And the other thing that was kind of coming to me as you're describing these steps is if you feel like you don't deserve this kind of gentleness, that in itself can be explored.
Exactly. Know? That can be explored here. And you can bring curiosity to it. You can bring a gentle, not an interrogation, guys. We're not putting up, you know, we're not shining a bright light on you like, why do you feel this way? It is soft and gentle. You throw it out there, the curiosity, you give stuff time to bubble up. Really, this is like artsy fartsy. Give yourself some artsy fartsy time to see what comes up here. And so, you know, and don't feel discouraged, right? If feeling your way through sounds like a foreign idea, it is, right? Like a lot of us don't know how to feel our way through. It's how we get stuck in the anxiety loop to begin with. So it's like learning to ride a bike. It really takes time to get the feel for feeling your way through. And I still fail at this exercise, like probably 1 out of 3 times. And by fail, you know, I mean, it's, I've come to realize I'm really good at taking shortcuts, many that I'm not always aware of, to bypass feeling my way through strong emotions, right? Like my default is reassurance, worrying, quote unquote, problem solving, ruminating, controlling, and so many more. And in my example here, I was able to benefit from this exercise because I've been doing it for a while. I've done a lot of conscious work around this. I've done a lot of, I've had a lot of experience and a lot of repetition. So in my example, right, there was some benefit in that I was able to take care of myself in a way that was conducive for me. And again, if that doesn't happen in a one-off, of course it's not, right? Like this just takes time. It's a capacity.
So I was saying, like every 3 seconds and I realized I was on mute because there's somebody backing up for like 3 miles right outside my window. Why are you backing up for so long?
Why are you doing this?
I love that you, I love this. And I'm excited to explore mine with you.
Okay. I'm going to pull up our 1000 steps here. And guys, okay. I'm going to try to make it a little more seamless for you, Erica. Yeah. So it feels a little less like a concrete step-by-step process. We can make it feel a little bit more like fluid, a little more seamless.
Can we also say that this is easier to talk someone else through than it is to do yourself. Is that an okay thing to say? Because you and I, like, we could talk each other through it probably. But then when you're in the moment, it definitely takes practice.
Yeah. And honestly, it can help. Like, if you jot down a couple of these steps and your major takeaways and you ask a trusted friend or someone in your life to kind of just prompt you, they don't have to do anything but read. There's something about some being in a space where someone's reading it out loud and sort of prompting you, it's a little bit easier to not get caught in old habits where we just start spinning and get off track because we're, you know, we're creatures of habit. We're going to kind of default to what we normally do. So it can be helpful whether to like have someone else read it or you write it down, you know, write down the steps and then almost use it as like a journal prompt if you want to. Anything that sort of just brings you a little more conscious awareness. Anything that makes it a little bit easier to engage.
I think it's pronounced gurnal. Have you ever seen Wet Hot American Summer? No? Forget
no.
it. Anyway. Oh, it's so great. It's a cult classic. Do it. It's very funny. It's very dumb.
Is that the same as like American Pie, all those actors?
No. Just do it.
No. Wrong, Kelly. I don't know anything about movies. It's
you
so
do.
Sad.
Not, but... that's part of your charm. Anywho,
I'm gonna bring myself some compassion. Heart.
Bring some compassion about not knowing this obscure movie from 1996. Anyway, it's a good movie.
Well, I will say Vertical Horizons. What? Vertical Horizon. Do you remember Vertical Horizon? Their hit from 1999. He's everything you want. He's everything you need.
Yep.
Anybody remember that music video? Well, they played at Market Day here in Concord in New Hampshire.
So
and
they're
it
doing
was,
well. Yeah.
They're from Massachusetts. So that made some sense. But it was pretty epic, guys. 1999. Still looking pretty good. It's like they.
Well, I saw Melissa Etheridge in concert the other day in like a conference room because it was booked by accident. And she was awesome. That's the biggest thing I've ever said, by the way. But she was really great. So right there with you, girl.
Yeah, it was, you know, so things from 1999 before Y2K. Pretty awesome.
That's where my anxiety started. Anyway.
All right, girl.
Okay.
You got an emotion in mind, something
yeah.
or something that was.
Let me narrow it down. Let me just go through the Rolodex. Yeah. Me so I spend. Most weekends up at my summer home, my lake house, in upstate New York here with my entire extended family. So it's a family reunion every week. And we all have a wide range of traumas and like a spectrum and political views and alcohol. Yeah. And so it can be incredibly overwhelming. I have found this year particularly tough. And will, if I'm not, I don't need to be on guard, but there have been a couple times where I've felt just simply overwhelmed in the like capital O sense. And have found myself sort of walking away and trying to do some work. But there are times when it gets sticky and I can't find my way out of the thoughts as quickly as I'd like. And I know that you don't have to, but you know, sometimes we just want to recover quick. So
yeah, right. Sometimes we want to quote unquote struggle well, right? Where we kind of just move through it without adding second, third,
and
fourth.
And family is a whole thing for everybody.
A whole thing.
So I'm interested to go through this on an official level.
So if you were to name the prevailing, what I'm hearing, the sort of prevailing emotion here is overwhelm.
I would say overwhelm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you sort of keep this overwhelm in mind and sit in a way that makes you feel open or, you know, just a little bit, we could say open or comfortable, are you able to sort of lean into or tap into this idea that this is part of my current experience now? Is there space to sort of acknowledge, hey, overwhelm is sometimes part of my experience in this context, in this scenario?
Yes. One, because I've done this work. And two, when I to actually tune into that. Sometimes it takes a minute for like the gears to click in, you know. Sometimes the overwhelm is just like a toddler, and then I need to just sort of like look at it and be like, "Are you overwhelmed, girl?"
Yes, exactly.
Then it's like, "Oh yeah, oh girl, yeah, I am." So, yes.
What helps you sort of, I don't know about you because I shared me, like what helps you acknowledge that it is your experience, right? Like what helps you sort of make a little bit of space that this is part of the current reality?
I think experience, having gone through this many a time and years and years and years of this practice, you know, all of the stuff we talk about, I practice it as often as anybody else. So I think it's the faith in myself that it's like, oh, I've done this, you know, and it will go as quick as it comes if I can let it.
So leaning into sort of that experiential knowledge to sort of acknowledge and make space for. We do get
it's
a lot.
Graceful.
No, it's not. It still feels gross and it's, but yeah, that's, we do, the more we sort of have that experiential knowledge, the more we can lean into it. And it does make a little bit more room. So I like that you shared that.
I don't want to digress too far, but I have my middle niece, the 5-year-old, kind of struggles with some fear stuff. I don't really know why. I'm not a child educator, but she was really scared. She's so scared of swimming for some reason. She's like deathly afraid of water. And we were at a friend's pool. Wouldn't get in. And she just like, it became this huge like thing.
Yeah.
And then finally she just dipped her toe in. She kept going. And then she was knee deep and then thigh deep. And then all of a sudden she was just in and then had a great time. She got out. And then the next time she was like, oh, I know I can do this because I already did it. And it was like, duh, you know, hello. Right. And then I looked at myself like, oh, duh.
Oh, this applies to adults too. You know, happens. It is that.
Yeah.
That experiential learning when we're able to sort of lean into previous experience, like, okay, I've been there. I moved through it. I was able to like, you know, it didn't eat me up entirely, the experience, like I was able, you know, to hold space for it. So really, it applies to adults too, every day. Mm. Me as well. I feel your Amen. Niece.
Amen. All right. What step are we on?
You know, I'm kind of just going a little more fluid here.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Okay. It's all right. We're going to kind of
overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed and I jump in the lake. Those are the steps we're on so far.
Those are the steps we're on. And you jump in the lake.
Swim into the horizon. Run away.
Well, that actually brings us right to our next step is when you sort of bring up that overwhelm. Mm. Where do you feel it most in your body? Where does this show up?
Oh, right in the middle of my chest.
Yeah.
And in my throat, like choked up.
Mm-hmm. Choked up.
Yep.
Yeah. What are the characteristics of it? Is it tight? Is it
tight?
Hot?
Let me rattle these off fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tight, constricted. Yeah. All of that and et cetera.
Et cetera. Does it have a color?
No. What? That's some crystal stuff. I don't F with that S.
I know.
I'm just jealous of people that can like articulate them or are aware enough to be able to like see in colors. Like, get out of here.
I know.
Get out of here.
It's a superpower. I'm convinced it's a superpower. I can't do that.
I'm too Catholic.
And are
for
you?
That. Sorry. What?
Oh, and you know, when you think of this experience, are you able to bring in appreciation for the part of yourself that is trying its best to sort of protect you and make sure your needs are met and you're okay?
This is the part when you were going through the things that this will be newer. I think I can appreciate my anxiety in the past. I can appreciate things in the past. Yeah, I can appreciate what I've been through. I can appreciate, but in that moment, it feels incredibly inconvenient. It feels just ill-timed in every way. So I'm going to really practice that. I can see where you're going, but I don't effing like it.
Well, yeah. And you know what? And the thing is, sometimes it does feel inauthentic and that's when we can just drop it. And if you're able to say, whew, thanks for working so hard, body. Like, I see you're working hard. It may not be the most adaptive or helpful way, but again, for me, look, I didn't even, it's so self, it's like, I don't even think about it, but my hand's on my chest right now. When I think about saying thanks for working so hard, I just put my hand on my chest without, again, it's something I've been practicing for a while. And now I kind of do it instinctively and I can feel it, you know, I can feel it where that any sort of appreciation, and I wouldn't be able to do this if I was on an airplane. There's no way I'm appreciating my body. I'm going to be like, F you body. This is super inconvenient. We are not in danger. Stop that. Knock it off. You know,
I
like
need to look at the wings.
I need to look at the wings to keep this plane up. So, you know, if I was on a plane, this isn't happening.
All out the literal window, but hopefully
all
not.
Out the littler window. Yeah. Literal window. Yeah.
Okay. So appreciating something, something. All right. Okay.
Next, you know, when you're kind of sitting in this overwhelm and you're noticing in your body, what helps you feel connected to the shared human experience of overwhelm? You know, what's going to help you feel connected to this shared human experience of really suffering, you know, whether it's overwhelm or whatever it might be?
I've leaned into this hard in the last 2 years, definitely this year. And that is, I have these wonderful cousins that are about my age. We're all really close and great friends, and we all struggle with the same exact stuff. And the days that I'm overwhelmed by whatever behavior is happening around me and it feels at me and to me, I can eventually look at a neighboring cousin and be like, and I can see in their face they're feeling the exact same thing. And so then we can have a laugh and we can you know, we commiserate in this misery, and 1000% feels so much lighter, when you can look at somebody and say, I'm overwhelmed. And they go, holy crap, me too, about almost the exact same thing. Or if they don't, they go, I'm not at this moment, but I know exactly the way you feel. And I promise, because I'm not one to, I didn't grow up naturally sharing those kinds of emotions. I held that in a lot because I wanted to be like emotionally, seemingly completely stable. This doesn't make you unstable at all. It keeps your feet very much rooted on the ground when you can look at somebody, anybody, and say, yikes, I'm feeling a thing. Or it seems like I'm feeling a thing. I'm stuck in my thoughts. And they go, oh my God, me too. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you any less grounded. It's so, I cannot recommend this enough.
We are, you know, just from like a scientific standpoint, evolutionary standpoint, we're designed to co-regulate. So if we're feeling overwhelmed and we share and someone sort of meets us and like brings their energy down and sort of, you know, connects with us and says, hey, I understand where you're coming from, right? Like when we connect to that shared humanity, it really does down regulate our nervous system, meaning it sort of allows that rest and digest, that calm, grounded nervous system to come back online. You know, there's a lot of research here, and whether it's for psychology or evolutionary biology, like there's a lot of research here that we co-regulate. So there's so much value in whether you are literally physically, you know, connecting to someone or imagining. This can be visualized. So sometimes I'll do this in a loving kindness meditation where you can visualize someone that makes you feel heard and seen, someone that makes you feel that sense of connection. Like you can bring up that person or that experience. For me, I often bring up game night because I have really wonderful friends that even if they haven't had the same experience, they always bring some understanding and curiosity, non-judgment. You know, it's a space where I feel safe, connected, and not judged. So we can physically connect ourselves to others. We can imagine it and visualize it. And it has really the same neurobiological effect.
Yeah. I'm not a hippy-dippy person, as we know, but let me tell you, this is a real thing.
And it's often a missing piece for a lot of us, because we just get so caught in self-shame and self-judgment that we it's almost like we feel undeserving, or we just assume we're the crappiest human, you know? We don't really realize how much universality there is in human struggle and suffering, whatever costume it shows up in.
Right. Yeah.
So the next piece here is, when you notice that overwhelm, right? Like, how do you support or soothe yourself? What makes you feel supported? What makes you feel soothed? What
I would say, carbs.
Carbs.
No.
Nice piece of cheesecake.
Just a big box of brownies. Cheesecake,
Golden Girls style. Give me the whole thing.
Golden Girls style?
Have you never watched Golden Girls? They always share cheesecake.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. No, ugh, I think. Okay. Erica. I'm a Seinfeld girl.
No judgment, but you need to watch Golden Girls.
Seinfeld's more of like, those are my emotional people. They shame each other. What was the question? How do I soothe myself?
Well, how do you show yourself compassion? How do you soothe yourself? How do you take care of yourself? I think this is
newer in the practice, in intentionally showing. I think I started with like, oh, this is normal. Just at first, sometimes if I can't quite get there, like if I can't quite get to the full compassion, which I think is something a lot of us struggle with.
That's a work in progress. That's why I kind of meant when we were going through this the first time, sometimes there's some side work, right? With self-compassion, self-kindness. Guys, Dr. Kristen Neff has wonderful content, wonderful workbooks about like fierce self-compassion, you know, like gentle self-compassion. I need to reach out to her because it throws sort of these misconceptions about self-compassion and what they mean. It just kind of throws them on their head.
Badass. It's like,
it makes it badass. It really does.
She's up there with Brene Brown for me. Love
me too.
Her. So self-compassion is sometimes hard in these moments, but like full on self-compassion. I use the Kristen Neff stuff all the time, but sometimes it's as simple as like, this is not an outrageous reaction. This is a normal for what you got going on here and the way you're raised and like all the things, like you're doing the best you can with what you have. And sometimes that just gets me, it just quiets the noise just enough to get me to the next hump. But you know, that sometimes is all I can do in those moments is like, you're okay. This is normal.
And that is more than enough. Anything, right? Yeah. Like anything that we can access. And even if we can't, guys, remember, it's okay. If like you can't access this the first few times around, self-compassion is one of those things that can feel really foreign. And we can really underestimate sort of its role in helping us heal, helping us change, grow, rewire our brain. So give it time, give yourself time. You don't have to figure it out right away. There's plenty of wonderful resources to explore this if you feel like it's a missing piece or if you're interested or intrigued. It's there. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yes.
When you picture the overwhelm, when you feel it in your body, are you able to bring some curiosity and just sort of reflect on, and I want to say, if an answer doesn't come up right away, guys, this is okay. Like you don't have to have an answer. It's the act of being curious that allows us to sort of feel and process emotions. There doesn't need to be an answer. And honestly, if we're not used to asking, there might not be an answer right away. It's okay. But can you kind of pause here and just reflect on, hey, what need isn't being met here? What might be underneath?
I would say
this overwhelm.
A lot of the times, yes, I can get there where it's like something else is amiss here. And sometimes that feels sad. So sometimes my curiosity looks more like, huh, look at you being overwhelmed. Like it's more of a, instead of doing curiosity, like it's more like, oh, wow, your body really like wants to protect itself. Like, you know, and that's something that I lean on a lot where if you can't quite get to like the deep meaning of it,
especially I'll in the go moment, to,
in right? the moment for like, sure. Like,
especially
yeah.
in the moment.
Sort of like the compassion thing, like a layer above that might be like, oh, huh, I'm having an emotion.
I like how you say that. Anything that's really like, right? Yeah. Like that is the air of curiosity. Like, interesting, or I'm noticing anything that starts with right, that should be sort of,
that's like my
your indication you're curious. Like that is the air, the feel of curiosity.
That's how I explain curiosity. It's like sometimes if you can't get to like the deep meat of it, or if you need to do that later, just even if you just go like head tilted to the side going,
I love it, Yeah. That is curiosity embodied right there, Erica. Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. I love being a star student.
A star. A plus. Yeah. My gosh. I'm going to borrow that one because I think sometimes it can be a little bit difficult to identify a need that's, especially if it's like a heightened moment. So I think it's a good takeaway that like sometimes, head tilt, interesting.
Yeah. Like if I'm overwhelmed and I'm overwhelmed with my family and then I dig deeper, it's like, well, maybe I feel completely unheard and abandoned. And it's like, that might not be where I need to go right this second. So maybe I'll just go like, look at that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean something won't, right? Just sort of setting that groundwork for curiosity, like, interesting. When your nervous system's less overwhelmed, there might be an insight. Yes. There might be something that bubbles to the surface. Yes. And it doesn't necessarily happen in the moment. And that's something that's the gift that is curiosity. By just bringing that air, that feel, it's the opportunity for something to sort of bubble up or come up when our nervous system's not, you know, dysregulated.
Right. And that's when you can reflect on a moment later without rumination as using curiosity. You know,
exactly.
Like, you know, I was feeling this thing earlier. Maybe I have a little bit of space now where I can think about that again without going down the rabbit hole by using like, I wonder what that could have meant. You know?
Right. And I like how you say that because if you guys are trying curiosity feels open. It doesn't feel rushed. It doesn't feel urgent, right? If you're kind of getting caught and trying to figure it out and it feels tight and edgy, then that's usually an indication like we're kind of getting into ruminating and worrying and we're not in the curious place. So if you notice that, it's okay to just put that aside, right? And and move on. We do what we can of these steps and we leave what doesn't resonate with us and we leave what's inaccessible and we move on. And it's always okay to just step back and stop.
Yep. I dig it.
All right. Well, girl, thanks for being a guinea pig. That's it. See, I tried to make it a little more condensed because really, this is something we can do if we're doing this on our own and, you know, say we have like a couple, you know, journal prompts or whatever, and instead of someone else leading it, we really can do this in 2 or 3 minutes. Like this doesn't need to, we don't need to do this 1,000 times a day. We can do this. This is once a day is fine. Like this is, that's plenty.
Yeah. And try it with like a lowercase emotion, like somebody cut me off, you know, just give it a whirl.
Oh man. I'm always curious. Andy always shares about how someone cut him off at the post office like 6 years ago and it still gets him all razzled. And I'm like, what is that? You know, or I don't know if other people here, like if people don't use their blinkers, like he is what I, you know, to me, it seems disproportionately rageful, but I'm sure there's some unmet need. I don't know what's happening underneath that, but you know, it's like, God forbid somebody doesn't use a blinker.
I like that. It's that one thing 6 years ago that he's holding on to.
Yeah.
Andy, I love him.
When I was talking about this episode, he kind of used that as an example. He's like, yeah, that time that lady at the library cut me off and then had the nerve to like yell at me. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. I see you get all hot and bothered. Yeah, shared human experience, guys. Sure. We all struggle. We all get caught in stuff.
Absolutely.
I don't understand his specific details, but I understand, you know, what's underneath it there. Yeah. And we just shared human experience.
Sure. No, I get it. I dig it.
I get the feeling of injustice, but you know, I don't care if people use their blinkers. It's fine. I don't, you know, that's fine with me.
The injustice of it, Andy.
The injustice of it all.
That's funny. Well, thank you for doing this with me, to me, for me.
Yeah. Well, yes. Thank you for sharing. And, please guys, let us know how it goes or if questions come up, you know, we're on the gram and, you know, can shoot us an email at notanotheranxietyshow@gmail.com.
On the gram.
That's right, right? Is that, I feel like my friend said that the other day. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Do this in one breath.
I'm doing it in one breath.
Go.
That's our episode. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and take a minute to write a review on iTunes so that we can reach and support more people. If you're looking for one-on-one coaching or have a question you'd like answered on the show, please visit notanotheranxietyshow.com. And until next time, remember, be kind to yourself.
Whatever.
One breath.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.